Hey friends, Heather Avis here. I'm excited to share with you about the Lucky Few Foundation, where we believe storytelling is the key to shifting the Down syndrome narrative. We believe sharing our stories fosters empathy and it creates a kinder, more inclusive world. One of the avenues in which we do this is through our foundation and our storytelling project called This is Down Syndrome. This is Down Syndrome is a unique storytelling machine that we use to shout the worth of people with Down Syndrome. It is a project positioned to tell real, diverse, and inclusive stories, stories which will get real people having real conversations, changing hearts and minds, and shifting narratives. Stories which not only benefit the Down Syndrome community, but strengthen our collective humanity. Because it's one thing to know about Down syndrome, and it's another thing entirely to know a person with Down syndrome. This is an invitation for you to help us create a world where everyone belongs. The Lucky Few Foundation believes storytelling is central to this mission, and we invite you to join us. Head to theluckyfewfoundation.org to learn more. I'm starting our small talk.
Okay. Yes.
And then Micah says it because it is okay. That in the script.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that our podcast has now been out for 3 years?
Oh, I love
us. It's our 3-year
anniversary. Aren't we cute?
We're the cutest.
Three of us, 3 chromosomes, 3 years. It's our golden year.
I can't wait 21. For 21 days from now.
I think in 21 years, that's our golden birthday. So we'll see if we can do 21 years.
21 years.
That'd be so cute.
How old am I? Oh my gosh. Let's do it. Why not? Right? Why not? 21 years of a podcast.
In 21 years, I will be 63.
Okay. Well, but no, in 20... In 18 years,
yeah,
because we're 3 years in.
Okay, so I won't quite be 60 yet, or I'll be 60. I can't do math.
I'll be 58.
I'm going to just go to my thing. So I'm 36 now, plus
18,
54. Ooh, I'll be in the prime of Lyme.
That's right, girl. I'll be 58, and that feels great. And it's going to be
a very special episode.
I think that by then, though, technology, what are we going to do? Because 20 years ago, think what wasn't.
We are meeting in our metaverse.
Yeah, totally.
We'll be in the metaverse. We'll be vaporized.
We're like beaming up.
We're naughty.
We won't even have bodies by this point.
I hate that. I don't want to be a vapor. I'd like to be a body. But I don't mind like beaming to a place, you know, like you, okay. Like how they did in Star Trek. And then we're all.
Yeah, we could all be together again.
Like our, I'm doing a thing with my hand. That's like a wave. A hologram of us.
Yes. I could see that.
Okay. And then people can invite us to be a part of their events and we hologram in.
Yes. And people won't listen on podcast. They'll just hologram in to watch us.
So everybody will be with us.
All our listeners will see their faces.
My brain goes to then the other extreme where we're meeting in a cave with a candle.
Oh my gosh.
And someone's our scribe because we've all learned that this is all really bad for our brain. So then someone's our scribe and they're going to go on horseback to our listeners.
Okay. Mercedes, I'm so grateful for that perspective. Always bringing us a different perspective.
We've gone too far so that we go way back.
Yeah, we do. We got to go back.
Oh, dear. I love it.
Well, okay. But I think now that we've determined this, it's time for us to shout some worth and shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Today is World Down Syndrome Day. Woo! Let's go.
All right, you guys. So we had it's our 3-year birthday. Happy birthday, Lucky Few Podcast. You can send gifts too. Just kidding.
Oh my
gosh. And
I took 3 diamonds in crusty, 21 something.
Okay. I want like an emerald.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Gorgeous. Or a ruby. What do you want, Merce? Or a turquoise.
Me, I want turquoise or a diamond, which is my birthstone. So it's fitting.
It is fitting. You guys, it's also 3 years, 5 years. Let's do the math there. Since The Lucky Few, the book came out.
Oh my gosh.
2017. Yeah.
Right.
5 years.
Wow. I love that.
How's that possible? 2017 to 2022.
I was thinking it was just the year before the podcast started that your book had come out. It was your year
my
birthday.
Book came out 2017.
And our first episode was.
Well, then are we 4 years in?
I think we're 4 years old, guys.
Oh, gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Happy fourth birthday. Oh,
now
my
we've done
gosh,
all the wrong math.
Guys.
Now we're going to be a different age.
We've got to rewind. We're back in the cave.
5 years old in 18 years, which I don't know if it's still the prime.
Oh,
but...
shoot. Now you're in your mid-50s, not early.
Oh, this
isn't going to work.
That is so cute.
We are funny. Yep. Happy 4 year birthday.
Happy birthday.
And it's World Down Syndrome Day. Have you guys noticed on this day how, and we talked about this a little bit, sort of, a few episodes ago, but how it used to be like a couple things happen on World Down Syndrome Day. And now if you're in the Down Syndrome community on the 21st, yeah. I mean, there's going to be 100 things dropped, you know, like, yeah.
I
videos and all the things. It's so much.
Cause I need to have a savings account for the people I need to pledge for.
Totally.
<You're like laughs> or I guess up. You just choose, but I want to support all my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could either go either ways where I'm just like, you know what, you guys, I bow out all together, or I should just like, just give a little bit to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give a little bit to everybody.
Like, he let us know where
he lands. You know what they say? Just a little bit of love goes
just
a long
I need
way.
To just give a little bit of love to everybody. Mm-hmm. And then you know what happens then? I'm like, whew, I don't even know if I do anything for myself. Because then I'm like, no, I celebrated. And then usually, though, for World Down Syndrome Day, we just go at least, we do something Sunny likes to do, which is usually the beach and go out to Mexican food.
I love that.
Awesome. Yeah.
So fun. So fun. I know there's so many fun things happening and fun things dropping. We know our girl Liz Plakta with Ruby's Rainbow, they do a huge pledge every year.
Just that's so good.
Exponential. It's so fun.
Awesome.
There's a music video that Global's putting out that I haven't had a chance to watch yet. I'm excited.
Okay, my claim to fame, which is not a claim to fame because you'd be like, we were in high school together. Delta Spirit is a band that came from the OC, y'all, and Matt Vasquez, the lead singer, we went to high school together. And my friend, there was this old Christian network called G-Rock back in the day. Do you remember it, Heather?
No, but does G stand for God?
Yes. And Matt Vasquez, again, I don't know if he wants me to share this, was like breaking out as like a cool worship guy because of like Sublime. Where were those other bands? You would know better than me.
Yeah.
He was trying to be in that scene for a while. So I got to know him in my high school days. And now look at him. That was my claim to fame.
I love it. It's like full circle though, because now he's got the music video. Music video with Jamie Brewer and Zach Gottsaken. And that's exciting.
It's well done. Huge.
Totally. It's so good. And then the Lucky Few Foundation, we've been pumping out 21 stories in 21 days. And today we're dropping our very first video. So we've been doing all of our stories through photography in 400 words or less, bite size stories. Uh-huh. And the Ronnie series started about a little over a week ago. And you get to watch Ronnie's video today. It's told from his sister's perspective. Latasha, his sister, is his full-time caregiver. Oh, and their mom passed away a couple years ago. So Ronnie's the youngest of eight. And his sister, Latasha, is 17 years older than him. So we got a video. It's so beautiful. It's 5 minutes long. It's like a little mini documentary that I think will inspire and encourage and make your smile so big. So you can go to the luckyfewfoundation.com and it'll be there on our social media. It'll be there.
We'll have a link in this.
We'll have a link here
in our show notes.
Yeah. Yay. So fun. It's so fun. You can follow on Instagram, the Lucky Few Foundation. and read all of the stories. The way that we do our storytelling on the foundation is whoever the person with Down syndrome is, it's their series. And so the Ronnie series has 12 people, which is really fun. There's like speech therapists, coaches, teachers. When we reached out to one of his teachers in Texas, she's like, how many people can come? And he's got this incredible support system.
I love that so much.
Yeah, it's really fun. And he's such a rad guy. So check that out. What else do you guys got going on?
Oh my goodness. Not much.
Okay. What do we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you guys, you know what?
Oh.
We have wonderful review to read.
Yes.
That I want to make sure we get to. Kara Pola says, I love listening to these ladies. All three offer a unique perspective on raising a kid with Down syndrome. And they're so fun. When I finish listening, I feel like I've spent a day at a park with three other mamas talking about how great our kiddos are. My daughter was only 9 months old when the pandemic hit, so I have almost no friends with differently abled kids. These ladies have been my education over the last year, and I have learned so much. I'm so thankful for this podcast. Yay!
I love that.
You're my
I'm
friend.
I'm so grateful that our podcast could be a lifeline during the pandemic.
I know.
For those women who didn't have a chance to make friends in the community.
So beautiful.
It's amazing.
I love it. And that we are, that we've been around for 4 years.
We think.
Oh my gosh.
So we think.
We're pretty sure. There a leap year? We got to figure that out. Okay, friends, don't forget to review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to read it out loud here, maybe next week. You guys, we appreciate these and we love them. Please leave us a review.
Very cool. All right, friends, it is World Down Syndrome Day. We are here to celebrate with you. Answer some questions that you've written in and just talk about, you know, just the three of us hanging out with all of you. So all the thousands of us hanging out. And I want to start this by the celebration of our loved ones with Down syndrome by reading a liturgy from Kayla Craig. So Kayla Craig, we've had on the episode. She is a mother to a lot of children and one of them has Down syndrome. She was on episode 75. If you want to, you should go back and listen to learn more about her. She writes liturgies. I feel like liturgies are a newer concept to me. Micah, how would you describe a liturgy? I would say like a written out prayer.
So I would say that liturgy is like a plan for worship. So when you talk about liturgical churches, it's like Catholic churches, Episcopal churches that follow a prayer book when they meet for worship. And so, liturgy is just like a ritualized sort of time of prayer, and the prayers have been written out already, and everyone says them together.
Thank you for that explanation. Mm-hmm. And so Kayla Craig wrote for parents. It's called To Light Their Way, and it is prayers and liturgies for parents. So I know that we are not a faith podcast, and we recognize that a lot of people who listen don't practice any of this. And I recognize that. Also this morning I was reading one of her prayers and I thought, I think everyone here would love it. So, and it's perfect for World Down Syndrome Day as we celebrate our kids, such a beautiful reminder of who they are. Give me like 3-ish minutes. I'm going to read it. And I think everyone will be blessed. That's the only word I could go to.
Yeah, okay.
Everyone will be grateful for it. Okay. It's on page 73 if you have the book, and it is a prayer for a child with a disability. God, you are an artist. Your glory is in every swirl and imprint of our lives. You know our child intimately. Their very nature reflects your glory. You have knit them together in the womb, and not a sliver of DNA or one strand of hair goes unnoticed or unloved by you. We pray for our child that we would be able to meet their complex needs. And when we cannot meet them, give us the right people at the right time to enter into life with us. give us community to surround our child with understanding and compassion, expertise and empathy, hope and love. Help our child know they are not alone in their personal challenges and victories. Surround them with love all the days of their lives. Be with us on the dark nights when we are awake, worried about what the future will look like for our child, for our family, and for us. Give us eyes to see beyond this world, for our children have much to show us. Help us not diminish our child by defining them by a diagnosis, but let us celebrate our child for exactly who they are. In the doctor's appointments and waiting rooms, give us peace. In the research and the therapies, give us hope. In the classrooms and the medical trials, give us strength. Help us to avoid trap of comparison and lead us to see that our lives are not marked by what we do, but rather by who we are and who we love. Help us to shout the worth of the child you have placed in our lives. And when our voices grow hoarse, help us to know when to rest. Empower our children to know they are valued and worthy. Give us new mercies each morning as we rise to do the often unseen acts of love as we care for our child. You have created our brains and bodies in amazing ways. Help us dance in the broad spectrums of your great love. Sometimes our great mysteries are misunderstood, and more often than not, we feel the great chasm between what is seen and what is unseen. Will you give us community? Will you provide respite when the days are long? Will you provide bread for the journey as the years are long? We thank you for our child's heart, for in the unique ways they love the world, we feel you more fully. We thank you for their soul, for in the ways they are in the world, we feel you more fully. We thank you for their body, for in the ways they experience the world, we feel you more fully. We thank you for their brain, for in the ways they understand the world, we feel you more fully. Help our family to take each day as it comes. Help us to do the best we can to come to you in the celebrations of struggles. Transform our hearts, souls, bodies, and minds to be tuned to your time. The Kairos time that gives us perspective, not the Chronos timeline of development charts and educational goals. In our child's victories and in their struggles, may we be a safe place to land. In their wins and in their defeats, may we parent with our arms wide open. And may we always sense your presence in it all. Help us to understand more fully the mysteries of who our child is. Help us to understand their joys and sorrows. Help us. Our child is yours. Help us to neither define our child solely by their disability, nor shy away from exactly who they are. Thank you for making our child, for they truly are beautiful and wonderful and made by you.
Sweet.
I love the part about Kairos time and Chronos time. And Kairos time is kind of defined as time outside of time, or like when time stops, when you feel like the moment is holy and separate from just like the churning clock of the day. And Chronos time is the time that we live in most of the time. And I love the idea of defining our kids by their development within Kairos time, not within Chronos time.
Yeah.
And not like what they should be able to do by this certain age, but by who they are when time stops and they're outside of time. Mm. It's a really powerful idea.
You guys. It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Thank you. For their bodies and how they experience this world, you know, it's so beautiful. Just like, I just think of how unique a person, well, and my daughter, but like, I just feel like when a person has certain like disability or their senses are heightened in unique ways, you know, they're like, I don't know. It's just so beautiful. Sometimes I just look at Sunflower. I think of water with her because she's such a fish where she feels so light in the water. She loves being really deep, swimming at the very bottom, the pressure. It's so fun to watch her experience life in a different way and uniquely. And I think that's because of our extra chromosome, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's so sweet. With the thing you were saying about time, it made me think about how this could have been shared for good news, but we're going to bump it up here. Macy's last session with Mrs. Brown, she wrote the word sun, S-U-N, and worked hard on it and celebrated it, like had a moment. Mrs. Brown reached out to me and with the text and a video and was like, she was so aware and so excited that she did this. Like she knew that she had done a big thing. And I just remembered, I mean, we've been at Mrs. Brown's house for a while now, maybe for 3 years, maybe four, we don't know. And probably for 3 years, but she, when we went in, you know, Mason scribble, scribble, scribble. And she's like, oh, she has everything she needs to be a great writer. And I just cried and cried and cried. And it, 3 years later, she's writing the word sun, and it's not a failure. It's a victory in her own time. You know, like that idea that we've been working on this for 3 years, it can make me cry. And we're going to work for another 3 years, and that we're never going to give up on it. And how progress is progress, and how beautiful that is. And when you take out our understanding of time, right? Like when we can separate ourselves from that, and we can separate ourselves from comparison, and we can take away those measuring sticks that society's cramming down our throats at what make our kids worth it and what success is and all of that. And just say, hey, and it took Macy 3 years. And look what she did, or look what she did in 3 years. This is amazing. So it was a really sweet moment to remember. Like when she first shared it with me, she's like, oh, that's awesome, I'm so excited. And then I was talking to a friend about it and the timeline of it. And I thought, wow, what a precious thing to get to witness and be a part of that growth in my sweet girl. So it's sweet.
I think there's a way too that we learn how to put ourselves into Kara's time, you know, because I think sometimes when our kids do make progress and it is so incremental, and then it feels like our hurdle's been jumped over, but it almost feels like, okay, like we did that. Mm. Like we've been waiting for that for a long time, but it doesn't, sometimes we don't celebrate it the way that we ought to or sit with it. And, but I think that's a way of putting ourselves into like a holy time. Where we can step back and say, look what happened, and I got to see it, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yay.
You guys, I can't get myself together. Mercedes. crying. I don't even, well, I know why, because I just love our life with our kiddos, you know? Even in the heart.
Yeah.
Because I guess it just makes the celebrations more beautiful and, I don't know, keeps it exciting. Not that life needs to be hard to be exciting, but it kind of does, you know? Mm-hmm. It needs to have rough patches, or it does have rough patches. And then, I don't know. And I found in mothering a child with a disability that the rough patches are usually not sunflower related. It's not my child related necessarily. It's me or like outside sort, like the outside world, you know? And so that's what I want to reiterate as far as hard is that usually it's not sunflower. She's just being a kid and she's being her. And then it's either my expectations or just even motherhood where I'm like, oh, this is all hard, you know, or like outside sources that she needs to be A, B, C, or D here, you know, and like she's not meeting that. So I don't know, just talking. I always just want to bawl my eyes out whenever we just start praising our babies, because they are worthy of praise, you know?
For sure.
In that sense, they do so much. They're strong beings every day, all day. And I'm just so proud to be a mother of a child with Down syndrome. It's such an honor. I did want to share that I haven't shared before. It was so fun. I hosted at my house a Valentine's family dance, and we had DJ Diamond as our DJ, Teresa, Cole Sybus's girlfriend.
Oh my gosh. How did you not invite us?
Oh, sorry. You don't homeschool.
Okay. It was for the homeschool group. Okay,
it was for my homeschool group.
And, oh, that's amazing.
And she was fabulous. Her dad comes and acts as her assistant, and she has a spiel. She brought lights. Girls, please, your next event, have yes. her be the DJ. It's a whole shebang. I still have to post some videos of it. It was so fun and so beautiful. She wrote me a thank you card afterwards. She's so professional. And I was just talking to Andy after that night. I'm like, I just wish there was always a person with Down syndrome as the DJ, because she was up there dancing. She would come on the dance floor dancing. The amount of just joy and goodness a person with Down syndrome brings to a space is just such a gift. Like, it wasn't about being like a hot or like too cool for school DJ, you know, it was like mm-hmm. about fun music and dancing. Mm-hmm. And I just love that. It was so perfect. I don't know, you know, a person with Down syndrome is a whole mood. It's a great mood.
So yeah. I love it. Room. Yes. I really think it comes down to a lack of inhibition. And I know that everybody with Down syndrome is their own unique individual. And this isn't true for everybody with Down syndrome, but for the majority of people I know have Down syndrome, they're so uninhibited in the most spectacular ways.
Yes.
And I just envy it. I want it for me. And I think that's the thing, you know, it's like, they're not trying to impress somebody. They're just showing up as they are. Yeah. Like, here I am.
And they like you how you are.
And they like you they're how you are. Yeah.
Side eyeing you. There's no judgment. Mm-hmm. They're just there to have a good time. The music song, you guys. Let's get dancing.
Totally. August is a little judgmental. August can be a little
He's a little standoffish.
A little side eye. A little like, I don't need. Last night we had some friends over and they have a baby, like a 8-month-old. And all the kids were on the ground and she kept going behind August like a baby does and like climb up. And August kept going, stop doing that. He like kept, he was like so irritated. Like, why are you touching me? I'm like, August, she is a baby. You are so rude. And I was behind him. Like, I kept letting her do it. I'm like, stop it.
It's that Justin Bieber hair he has right now. He's feeling himself.
He got a haircut and it's not good.
Oh, what? I was complimenting you. I loved it long. You know me. I love the shaggy
hair. I love the shaggy hair. And he needed it just cleaned up a little bit, you know, like there were like some extra long straggle sections.
Okay.
And then we took him to someone and it was a mistake because this person does a really great, like short, you know, the certain cool where it's like short hair on the sides, long on the top, like a longer. And she does that cut really, really well and has on August many times. And I said, well, I didn't take her. Josh did. I didn't take him. Josh did. Okay. And
so I said nothing.
Keep it long. Josh, please just keep it long. Keep it shaggy. We just need like to trim it up a tiny, tiny bit, like in the back. Let's get rid of the mullet look. Let's just trim it up and clean it up. Oh, the best way to describe it is if it's not swiped to the side. First of all, he's the most handsome child that's ever been born. I can't even stand it. He looks great no matter what. It looks like a Lego character haircut.
What?
Like long in the ears, long, like, I don't know. I'm missing your picture.
Like maybe all this helmet is cut out. Like you could pop it off.
I don't know. Cause she like her version of keep it shaggy was instead of like making it tight and short around the ears and on the side that stayed longer. The top is long ish. It's not, his shaggy hair is gone. He's so sad. I'm so sad. And we don't talk about it anymore.
He notices it.
Oh my gosh. Yes. He loved his long shaggy hair.
Okay.
So mistakes have been made.
Well, I just want to say the child in my life who is almost 14 has had the long hair since he was 7.
Yes.
I started growing it out. And he, like, there were several times where I was like, let's just get it trimmed up. And then it would get all cut off. And he was, at that age, so bitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Until I finally just really gave in and let it happen. And he's never looked back. He is still filling in his hair. He's filling his hair. He flops it from side to side.
Oh my.
And an amazing like flick of his wrist.
And yeah.
August will get back to it.
This is your, they have the same name. Yeah. And August, we'll get back to it. It'll come back. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we've spent way too much time on this topic.
We've laughed, okay. We've cried.
I know. We've done it all. World Down Syndrome Day, y'all. So we're going to be at the beach today because my sister from up north is on her spring break and they're all coming down.
Oh, fun.
Isn't that fun? And then you said you're going to take your sweet Sunny Mae to the beach and Mexican food. Micah, what do you got going on today?
I've been inspired by you guys to try to make a day that is just Ace's favorite things.
Yes.
So the hard thing with Ace's diet is that he really has there's no like special going out to eat place and he eats the same thing every day. Yeah. So I think we may end up like one of his favorite things to do is to go swimming. Yes. So we may go to an indoor pool and swim as a family. We also may just end up at a park and all play together. Yes. So we're going to just do the thing that Ace would most love to do today, mm-hmm. and celebrate him however we can. We'll probably make an Ace cake.
Oh, yes.
A yummy gluten-free cake that we can all eat together. And in terms of like doing things online, I feel like there's so much going on that I'm just really happy to watch all of the mm-hmm. organizations and the people who are working hard and celebrate with them and, you know, participate by participating.
I love it. That's one way to participate.
I'm going to participate by participating.
What I don't do best is lead out I don't plan well far in advance. I don't lead well in terms of like, we're going to do a thing for mm-hmm. World Down Syndrome Day, mm-hmm. like on social media. So I've accepted that and I'm going to let other people do that mm-hmm. and just celebrate Ace at home and keep it simple and keep it mm-hmm. fun.
That's where I've landed.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing this podcast. This is coming out on World Down Syndrome Day.
This is a thing.
Look at us releasing a thing on World Down Syndrome Day. Right. We got some Q&A, and one of the questions, this is a segue to that question. If your kids are in school or with your homeschool group, will you do a lesson on Down syndrome, or like invite them to do a crazy socks? Something like invite the school in to celebrate on World Down Syndrome Day.
That is something that I have done in the past, invited everybody to wear crazy socks. And that's a really easy, simple thing to do for a classroom. And I think in terms of doing a presentation, that's something that I focus October on. Mm-hmm. In my world. So I find it's a lot easier in October to find a time and work with the schools and go into classrooms and all of that. So celebrating World Down Syndrome Day is more of like a big spark, while October feels like a slow burn, and I do better in slow burns.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. I'm going to take that too. I'm sorry. I'm a slow burner. I like that. Actually, I'm kind of like a quick burner and then it blows out. Like it's lit and then we did it. So it's on a Monday. I feel like, how do I want to do it? I don't know. I'm still trying to find my groove in that. Sunflower gets very inward when the moment's about her. So, and she's always with me for these things.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to work that out a bit as far as like, are you going inward because you are just like getting embarrassed in a good way or embarrassed in not a bad way, but just in an uncomfortable way?
Yeah.
So I have done in the past, and which I think I'll do again this year as I'm still trying to figure it out, is just bring cookies because we love people with Down syndrome. And almost like it's almost like treated like it's a birthday, almost
sure.
like a mm-hmm. celebration. And then I don't really go into it anymore. I also am with a lot of homeschoolers and they also live life with no inhibitions and the fact of questions and like, and I love it so much, you know, but also I think that's when I don't know. I just want to respect Sunny because they'll talk, they'll say, you know, they'll say all the sweet things that I do not blame a child for saying, like, why does she talk like a baby kind of a thing, you know? And I just don't want to, I don't want to do that on a day that's meant to be just, we're celebrating. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. For so, sure.
Just cookies, all positive.
I think that's great. That makes a lot of sense. It's good to think through that. Our kids are on spring break, so I'm off the hook.
And pass.
And just so you know, that's not something we're doing. But one of the questions that somebody asked was, what is one thing educators should know about our kiddos with Down syndrome? So one thing that you want teachers and educators to know. I will say so many things I want people to know. I want educators to know that people with Down syndrome are whole people with Down syndrome. Like that Down syndrome piece is an asset, not something that we're trying to change.
I want educators to know that in their field, I understand that they have to be aware. So there has to be measurement of growth, but that their measurements will never, our child with Down syndrome will never meet those measurements because they don't work in measurements like that. Their timeline, they don't work in that timeline. They're lifelong learners. I love Mrs. Brown. They're lifelong learners and they like to surprise us, you know, with when they're going to complete something. So just like, I get it. There needs to be measurement. There needs to be some sort of, I get it, you know, some sort of system. There's always got to be a system, but then to also then realize we've just created a system and to know that the timeline system does not work for a person with Down syndrome. Okay. Good to know. Right. Let's not put that weight on the parents or the child, you know?
Yeah. That's good. Burn it to the ground. In other words,
let's just pretend it's not there.
Whatever you want. Whatever. Burn. Burn the measuring sticks to the ground. I love that, Merce. What about you, Micah?
What I want educators to know is that our kids deserve being, they deserve to be delighted in. And
that's good.
That's what I want from them. I think both of what you guys said about seeing them as a full human, like releasing the measuring sticks, I think overall, in general, that happens when you can find joy in what may be really, really different than what you're used to for those educators. And once you can start to find delight in our kids, then it's okay to let those other things go out the window. It's okay to celebrate what is happening in front of you without having to compare. And and actually to love our kids. And educators are really good at loving.
So good at loving.
We believe in you, educators.
Yes. So thankful for you. I got to speak at a children's book festival this last weekend and I did a breakout session about celebrating and embracing differences because it was based on my book, Different, A Great Thing to Be. And there were probably between 25 and 30 people in the room. And the majority of people who come to this, there's some people who are aspiring authors and illustrators, but it's a lot of educators and librarians. So I got to give a whole, I literally was like preaching. I left my notes. I just went, I mean, I stuck to my notes and then I had my moments, but I got to just talk about like how we have to shift our understanding as educators around disability and that idea of seeing people with disabled people and students as an asset and teaching our non-disabled, their non-disabled peers that. And I got to talk about like how harmful segregating our students are. And it was just, I said a couple things about the district that my kids are in and I taught in this district. And then there were six people from the district in the room. I had no idea. I had no idea. but it was nothing like I would retract. It was just all this to say, at the end, there was such a rich Q&A because people just have not, a lot of educators haven't thought about this before because they haven't had to. You know, it's like educators are so amazing and they're in the field because they love kids and they see mm-hmm. goodness in kids and they believe in the future of the world is in our children and they see opportunities there. But you can't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And so having opportunities to talk to educators about the importance of seeing their disabled students and especially the students with intellectual disabilities as good, as whole, as an asset, you know, taking delight in them, not having to feel the pressure to measure up. And I think educators are excited to do that and relieved to, I think the measuring stick, like I know I can think of IEP meetings where I've said to teachers, I don't need you to teach Macy to do the things that the third graders are doing. She just needs access and opportunity. This mm-hmm. like relief they felt. I'm like, no, well, let's be realistic here. You know, like our kid, and also let's be excited about who our kids are. Like, let's be excited about who Macy and Augie are and not try to pressure them into being like their typical peers academically. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's just something that we need to keep talking about with teachers. You know, I think every time mm-hmm. a teacher has an opportunity to have a student with an intellectual disability, a student with Down syndrome, and they go into it, seeing all the goodness in that person, it changes their educational ideas forever. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing to get to witness.
Okay. The next question we got is, what is one piece of advice we would give to new moms? Mm. Moms of kiddos with Down syndrome.
You know what? Boy. I have a new one. Mm-hmm. I have a new one because we're in such a social media age, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's such a pressure to be, you know, an advocate online mm-hmm. right when your baby is born. You know, and we so naturally share our babies when, especially if you're in the social media space, like I would always put pictures up of my babies of Sunflower and all that. But to also know that you don't need to be any more of an advocate than you want to be, or that is non-stressful, you know? Like enjoy your baby, enjoy this, all that early intervention, the new world of doctor's appointments possibly, but enjoy the community that is social media and the Down syndrome space. But I just would hope to release the pressure of feeling like you need to be any more than a mom or dad to your baby with Down syndrome, you know? I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does, absolutely.
I could sense sometimes pressure myself, and I just always think about, I wonder if new mamas in this space could feel it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And want to be a part of it, right? It's a good desire, want to be a part of it, and then don't get burnt out. I don't know, just do as much as you can that's fun for you. And know that it's all about your baby ultimately, and you're an advocate wherever you show up at.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think, you know, I think about how different it is than even when we started our, mm-hmm. like all of our different social media handles around our kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different world now. There is a lot more pressure. Mm-hmm. And I think about this is a weird comparison, but one of my favorite memoirists, Mary Carr, has a book about memoir. And she is like, don't write a memoir of your life when you're in your 20s. Like, you have nothing to say yet, right?
memoir in your 20s.
Like, give yourself some time to be an adult first. And I think there's something to that in terms of this space as well. Like, it is a lot to enter into being a parent of a child with a disability, and to have that pressure on yourself that all of a sudden you need to be an online advocate and you have mm-hmm. to like change the world even as you're just learning your child. I think there is a, there should be a lot of space and grace for yourself to mm-hmm. just learn and get enjoy. Wise and mm-hmm. know what you have learned before you enter into that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It makes me think about our last week's episode with Katie Casada, and she talks about sharing your story and just share it with the people in your home, you know, like the, where you start, like it's share it with people in your family. Mm-hmm. And I think when you just, if you feel that need to want to like say to the world, my child is worthy. Like, so I think a lot of people have to start in their home, and that's plenty. You just, and you start by like walking in the room, holding your baby, you know, like that's mm-hmm. what, that's it. You don't have to do anything else. You have to say anything else if you want to do, but I think that advocacy, that like need or pressure to advocate, it just looks so many different ways. It doesn't have to be what you see happening on social media, you mm-hmm. know, or in the bigger picture. Right. Mike, did you have a piece of advice? Oh, number one piece of advice.
I think similar to what Mercedes said, but these are really sweet moments, like having your new baby. And first of all, number one advice is low muscle tone snuggles are the best.
The best.
The best. Don't forget to savor them, because they eventually fade out. Your little baby eventually starts running and jumping on trampolines and scootering. And so, you know, I think just remembering that even though you are leaving the hospital with all these handouts that are different than what most parents are leaving the hospital with, and all these groups you have to contact and the meetings you have to set up, that you, in the same way that you're going to need to remind the world that this is a whole beautiful human, you can remind yourself that mm-hmm. this is a whole beautiful baby, mm-hmm. and it is not about the things you have to do mm-hmm. yet. It's about loving them well and enjoying these moments and celebrating their life. Mm-hmm. And everything will come. You'll, like, learning to be wise and slow in those early months will help you to be wise and slow when you face a lot of pressure as they get older.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. Mine's similar in that, like, a baby with Down syndrome is a baby, and just mm-hmm. hold and love that baby and have your baby. And I think about my kids having so many health issues and medicine and medical and doctors and all those things, and how overwhelming that can sound and feel. But I think all new moms, just to say, everything that you need to be your baby's mom, you have, you already mm-hmm. have it, and you're going to slay it. And just hold your baby and love your baby. Mm-hmm. And those low muscle tone snuggles. I mean, also then they're going to be 8. August is a little on the, he's a little shorter, and he will still, at 8 years old, we will get some really great snuggles. It's the best. He can sit on my hip still. Oh man, so good. You know, I called him on my hip. I love that. And come see me. All I want is to hold all the new babies. Are we allowed to do that yet in this pandemic world?
I think so. I think we've entered the new phase of holding people's babies.
Yeah.
Can we kiss them on the face? I don't know. That's always been questionable. Right on the lips.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always been questionable. Look away. It's okay. I just loved your baby. That little tongue out. It's fine.
Look away. It's
fine. Okay, ladies. Another question we got was how to help our kids without Down syndrome not feel left out. We've talked about this in other episodes. I've brought this up personally when it comes to therapies and how much is our life revolved running around for Sunflower. And she's the oldest, which I feel like in any home, the oldest kind of sets the tone. You kind of end up doing stuff for the oldest because they're doing stuff first. So for a little while, it was just that. And then I just had Rhodes. And so he would come and he was a baby, no big deal. Then I had Shepherd, then I had Brave. And so I was like, okay, we cannot actually, when Shepherd came, I'm like, I can't do anything. We can't do anything, Sonny. We got to take a minute. So I think, I don't know. I feel like you have to think of your family as a whole, and everything has a season. Like there are times when I'm like, okay, I need to reevaluate. I see that, you know, maybe Sunflower needs extra help in this area. If I can get into therapies, I would like to. So we need to adjust. And I think conversation with my kiddos, even though they're as young as they are, helps. You know, like right now we're going to rally. We're going to do this for Sunflower. Just like we are there every Saturday now at baseball, you know, like there is like more opportunity for give and take. Andy and I have like made it a point though that like, and I don't know how this will land with everybody, but we're not at every walk for Down syndrome. We're not at every rally, you know, like we choose what we want to support. And we just do that to leave space and to leave room. We have four kids so that we could hopefully show up for all four. Cause we're a unit. I want Sunny's brothers to never feel neglected or resentful. And I know that me and Andy have to help foster that. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know. So conversation and being aware of your life, your family flow in the rhythm of your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great. I think too, like what you see on Instagram is not necessarily what the family dynamic is, right? So if it is an Instagram just focused on one child with Down syndrome, it doesn't mean that that child gets all the attention because they're the one in the photo or the video every day. Right. I think too that there's, and it's different for us because Ace is younger and his older brothers are really like heading into a different season than what he's into. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still very young developmentally, and they are in, one is in his teen years, one is has just turned 11. Like they're doing a new thing. And so it is I think so much is wisdom, and that's hard, and balance, and figuring out how to have the conversations that need to be had. And you know, I think my boys would probably say that, like, the question really is how to not let Ace feel left out in our family.
You're right.
You know, because he is eating different things than what they eat. Mm-hmm. He's playing in a different way than how they play. And, you know, we're having family meetings where we're hashing out rules around screens. And Ace is like, whatever, I just want to watch Elmo. And so I think there is a, I guess in some ways he has a place of honor in our family, but, some of it's just the season and who gets attention in each moment for whatever the needs are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's just parenting, right? I think I agree with what both of you are saying. I think that also remembering that, like with Truly, this is Truly's life. It's her life is having two siblings with Down syndrome. It's not like she had this whole other life and then all of a sudden Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. This is our kids' life. Like our siblings, I talk to siblings who are older and it's like, that's all they knew is having a sibling with Down syndrome. And it's fine. It's their life, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think, I don't know. I've never come across a family or a parent where I'm like, hey, I think you need to give more attention to your kids without Down syndrome if they have multiple children. I think that the online perspective is such, like you're saying, Micah, if there's a certain amount of attention given to a child with Down syndrome online. And even with our family, Truly, as she's getting older and more aware of social media and begging for it, we're 3 years away. There's no way she's having anything for another 3 years. And I'm sticking to that. And maybe another 30 years. Maybe in 3 years, we'll be in caves. Yes. Mercedes, no more devices anyway, but maybe we shifted around. Like it's conversations that we have in our family because our job, like the career we've created for ourselves is Down syndrome advocacy. And we have a child without Down syndrome. And guess what? We also just do normal day-to-day life. Like we're just doing life. And so our kids are fine. And if they bring something up, then we deal with it just like we do with all our kids. And
right. Just like if you had a sports kid, you know, totally. It's like our whole life is now football season. You know, I feel like there are so many moments within a family for like feeling left out or misunderstood or resentful. So I do agree. It is just kind of parenting because that's going to come up, right? Mm-hmm. In communication. Hopefully it's an open communication.
I think about like parents who have kids with more medical needs, and even like, and with both my kids having had open heart surgery, and with Mason, she was only one, but then when August had it, we had other kids, and those kinds of things are really hard. It's hard to know how to hold that and juggle that. And there are parents who spend days and weeks at a time away from their other kids because they have a kid in the hospital. And that's hard, you know, and that's hard. And I hope and pray you have a great support system and grandparents, and that's going to be hard for your kids who aren't a part of that and don't get to see you. And also it is their reality, you know, and it also is their life. And I think we need to give our kids, our siblings without Down syndrome, more credit. Like they're doing great and they're adjusting and they're character building in ways that other people don't have the opportunity.
Yeah.
All right. We love to celebrate good news, and World Down Syndrome Day, what a better time to do that. And so we're going to head out, hear from a sponsor, and then we will hear some good news in just a sec.
Hey, Micah here. Raise your hand if you're tired, overwhelmed, or if you simply need a little help finding your way into a slower pace. There's a new space where I'm exploring slowness, spiritual practice, and meaning. 15 minutes each week where all of us frantic ones can practice slowing down, learning to receive the goodness in front of us, and expanding our spiritual eyes to see what God just might already be up to inside all of us. Find the Slow Way podcast, hosted by me, every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, ladies, let's share some good news. I did mine at the beginning. That's going to be my good news. Macy writing the word son.
Oh,
sweet little Mace face. Do either of you have good news?
Sunflower is spectacular. What is my good news about Sunflower? Oh, ballet. I don't know if I've talked about it yet. She's just doing fabulous in a ballet class, and I'm really proud of her. We've gone now for 7 weeks. And she's only had 1 week where she kind of sat down and kind of did her like, no, I'm not going to participate. Only 1 week out of 7 classes.
That's great.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad. Good news.
Good news. Good job, Sunny May.
My good news is that finally the East Coast is warming up, which means trampoline time for Ace. So the thing that I am loving is his independence and confidence about going from like going to do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I see a new kind of just willingness in him to open the door, go outside, go have fun, come back inside when he's ready, get what he needs, go back out.
His and ideas.
It's just, I think in the past, what I saw from Ace was like, I wish that I had this thing, but I don't know how to get it or how to ask for it. And yesterday he was jumping on the trampoline. He was playing with the dog in the yard. He came back in. And I was like, oh, are you ready for a snack? And he ignored me and walked over to his little speaker, his little travel speaker, grabbed it, handed it to me, and then protested until I found the exact song that he wanted, which was Lean on Me.
Yes.
Soundtrack.
No way. My fave.
And and he took it outside.
I love a good ballad.
Every time that song was over, I would hear him start going, ah. So then I just hit repeat from the kitchen.
He was just getting good. And then it ended again. It's such a good song.
I just love him navigating he's been able to navigate our home, but I think like having the confidence to go in and out from outside to inside, get the things he wants.
To actually live in the home.
Yeah.
It's like living freely in the home.
Yeah.
I love that. Sweet ace. So good. We have good news from a listener, LBGEB. This is Laura Beth. Laura Beth is my in real life friend. She's amazing. And she has the two first names for a name, which is also one of my very favorite things. Laura Beth says, my Penny girl is 7. Her daughter's Penny and has a hard time communicating with words. Every day when I ask how school was, she says, I color. But a few days ago, when I asked her how school was, she started clearly listing off the names of the people in her class. For her to be able to use words to communicate about anything with me is a big deal. And this felt like such a big step. And you could tell it made her so proud. I definitely had tears of joy streaming down my face. Such good news. Penny girl listing off the people in her class.
I know.
Laura Beth, thanks for sharing that good news. I love it. Listeners, we want to hear from you. We love hearing your good news. And you can do that so many ways. You can go to theluckyfewpodcast.com and there's a phone number there you can call. You can email us, hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com. You can go to Instagram. This is probably the best bet, friends. Mm-hmm. And head to the Lucky Few Pod on Instagram. Leave a DM with your good news. Leave your good news in a comment. Thanks for sharing that with us. We love celebrating all of the things our loved ones with Down syndrome are doing.
Mm-hmm. We do love it. And we want to wish all of you a happy World Down Syndrome Day. Enjoy the day, celebrate, dance, get DJ Diamond out to your house.
Spectacular.
And it's time to wrap up. We want to thank Josh Avis for editing this episode and Val Schleter for producing it.
And if you like it, you can share it with family and friends.
Don't forget to subscribe.
And what else? Oh, yes. Check us out on theluckyfewpodcast.com for show notes and all the things we talked about today, friends. And be sure to follow us on social media.
We're at The Lucky Few Pod on all socials. And listeners, what do we know? What do you know about you? Let's hear it back. If you've been listening, you're slaying it. Woo! You're doing such a good job. We love you. We are here cheering for you always. That's Happy great. World Down Syndrome Day. We yes. will be with you next week on a new episode.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.